Today, what I mostly have in mind is to speak to you as a either active or potential Bible preacher, teacher, whether that's a pastor, a Sunday school leader, whatever it is. I don't know what particular kind of setting that you'll have the opportunity to teach or preach God's word in. Maybe it's a home Bible study. Maybe you're going to preach or teach at a rescue mission. Maybe it'll be for a Sunday school class. Maybe it'll be for a men's group or a women's group. Maybe it'll be for a congregation on a Sunday or a midweek service. There's all sorts of environments and opportunities that we have to be preachers and teachers of God's word. What I want to speak to you about today is the value and the importance of expository preaching. And let me start off with just this basic beginning here. For the purpose of this particular talk, I'm going to speak of preaching and teaching as the same thing. Now, I think there is a difference to be made between preaching and teaching, especially as those words are used in the New Testament. But right here, right now, I'm just going to use the terms interchangeably. I'm not going to try to keep track in my mind whether I've said preaching or teaching, because for the purpose of this particular time that we have together, let's just consider them to be the same thing. And so we're just sort of asking ourselves the question, what is expository preaching? Well, to exposit is simply to explain. That's all it means. You see, in expository preaching, the words and the thoughts of the preacher are directed to helping people understand the biblical text. Now, non-expository preaching generally starts with an idea or theme from the preacher, who then goes to the Bible to find support and illustration of that theme. You know, it could go something like this. You know, it's really on my heart to speak about prayer. Well, let me find some verses that talk about prayer. You know, and I have this idea. Let me find a verse that backs that up. I have this idea about prayer. Let me find a verse that backs that up. That is non-expository preaching. The theme, the ideas, the points come from me, the preacher, and I may go to the Bible and support and illustrate that theme from the Bible, and it may be a good message, it may not be a good message, but at least it's not starting with the text. Now, non-expository preaching can also come from someone who starts with the text, but they don't use the discipline and focus necessary to draw the message from the text itself. In other words, if I say, let's open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we start at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and before the sermon is over, I've read every verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it doesn't mean that the message was expository. It just simply means that I started with some scripture and I ended with some scripture, which is good, a good thing. But the point of my message, the flow of the message, the emphasis of the message was not the same as what was in the biblical text itself. If preaching is not expository, then it may be topic driven. It could be motivational. It could be an emotional appeal. It could be evangelistic in its emphasis. Now, I want to emphasize this. Expository preaching can have the same aspects. An expository sermon or teaching can be very motivational. But why is it motivational? Because the Bible passage dwelt upon was motivational. It can be very evangelistic. But why is it? Because there's something very evangelistic in the text itself. So we're not saying expository teaching isn't motivational or isn't evangelistic or isn't emotionally appealing or connecting. No, of course. It's just, if it is those things, it's because the text itself is those things. Again, those aspects come forth because they are in the biblical text. So again, let me just review that idea. To exposit is to explain, and it comes from the simple idea to expose. And it just means that the words and the thoughts of the preacher in expository preaching are focused on explaining and making clear the biblical text. Now, there's one word I kind of left out of that definition. It's the word application. Maybe if I were to write that again, I'd say the words and thoughts of the preacher are focused on explaining, making clear, and applying the biblical text, because preaching and teaching, a very important part of it is application. But you get the idea. It starts with the text. I think that there's a very helpful illustration or a description of this, I should say, from a great Bible writer and commentator, D.A. Carson. He said this: the expository sermon must be controlled by a scripture text or texts. Expository preaching emerges directly and demonstrably from a passage or passages of the scripture. It just comes from the scriptures themselves. Now, we believe, or maybe I should say I believe, and I hope you believe, in a doctrine, in a teaching, an understanding of the scriptures, sometimes called the perspicuity of the scriptures. It's a fancy way of saying this. We believe that with the illuminating help of the Holy Spirit, the believer can understand the Bible. Again, we're not talking about every problem passage, every theological depth, but in the whole, in the main, with the illuminating help of the Holy Spirit, the believer can understand the Bible. Yet, we also believe that one way that the Holy Spirit illuminates the scriptures is through the gifted offices that he gives to the church. In other words, to explain and understand the Bible, it really isn't enough to just give every believer a Bible and say, read it for yourself. Now, please, I hope you understand. We believe in individual Christians reading and understanding the Bible for themselves. But God has given gifted offices of preachers and teachers to the church for a reason. It's that he's given those gifted offices to help the everyday believer understand the scriptures. And that's what we endeavor to do as preachers and teachers of the Bible, or at least one aspect of what we endeavor to do. So the believer can understand the Bible. And yes, the Holy Spirit uses gifted pastors and preachers and teachers and so forth to help believers understand the Bible. Those truths are not contradictory. They are complementary. So I would say that the main aspect of expository preaching is simply to explain the biblical text. So what do? Well, we explain its context. In other words, just the flow of the thought through that particular book and chapters of the scriptures. We explain the words of the text to people. Maybe it's using words that we don't commonly use. We explain the big themes of the Bible. We explain especially the biggest theme of the Bible, that is the person and work of Jesus the Messiah. And we also explain it in view of its original languages. We may not be ourselves Greek or Hebrew experts, but we know how to look up the people who are. And so we explain the scriptures. In addition, we keep on explaining. We explain the promises and the gifts of scriptures. We call those sometimes the indicatives, things that God gives unto the believer. But we also explain the commands and exhortations of the scriptures. Sometimes we call those the imperatives of scripture, the things we must do. We explain the Bible in light of its historical context, and especially as well, we explain its practical application and relevance to life. This is what we do as Bible preachers and teachers. We seek to explain the scriptures, not aiming in a dry and academic way. Maybe if you're teaching a Bible college or a seminary class, but if you're teaching flesh and blood, just regular everyday Christians like the rest of us, you're teaching it in a way that is accessible and applies and works out in their regular everyday life. I like this. This next statement is a bit of an exaggeration, but I think you can appreciate it for its exaggeration. It's by Al Mohler. Al Mohler said this: your job as a preacher is a very simple one. this Sunday, you stand up, read the text, explain the text, and sit down. Next Sunday, you stand up, read the text, explain the text, and sit down. The next Sunday, you stand up, read the text, explain the text, and sit down. Now, again, we allow for a little bit of hyperbole, a little bit of exaggeration, that kind of statement. But the heart of it is true. This is what we're here to do. We're here to stand before the people, to read the Bible, to explain the Bible, and sit down. Now, I would give a special addition to what Al Mohler said there. Part of our explaining the text is explaining what it means, how it applies. But this is what we do. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those interviews that somebody has with people. There's been a few of them out in recent years, where somebody is interviewing somebody, let's say an author of a book. They're interviewing an author, and let's say they're a little bit hostile towards the author. And so they will state the beliefs of the one that's being interviewed, such as the author, in a strange and offensive way. Let me just sort of give a silly example of this. The author says something like this: "I think I like dogs better than cats." And then the interviewer says, "So you're saying that you'd like to kill every cat in the world?" Well, the author never said that. And you would forgive the author for thinking, "Won't you listen to what I'm saying?" Now, the point is this: sometimes I think that God must feel like that when we pay so little attention to what he has actually said. And sometimes we decide that we will sort of twist his words into a form that will advance our agenda, not carry his message. Friends, brothers and sisters, this is God's message. It's our job to deliver it. It's our job to convey it, not to mold it and shape it and fashion it into something after our image, but to let it, as much as we are able, in our imperfect ability, but as much as we are able, to let it speak for itself. Now, expository preaching is commonly done by preaching verse by verse through books of the Bible. Now, I don't know who you are, of course. I don't know if that is a familiar idea to you or if it's a strange idea to you. Maybe you go to a church where the pastor preaches through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Maybe you're at a church where the pastor will teach through Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. If that is the kind of church that you attend or ministry that you've been at, okay, well, that's a familiar thing to you. Maybe that's quite strange to you. Maybe you think, man, doesn't that kind of teaching belong in a seminary? Doesn't that kind of teaching belong at a Bible college, not in a church? But I'm here to tell you that that's been my background in preaching and teaching. I was raised in an environment, a church family known as Calvary Chapel, and sort of the now gone to heaven patriarch of that church family was a man named Chuck Smith, who was a marvelous example of this idea of teaching verse by verse through books of the Bible. And that is a common way that expository preaching is done. And it's a good way. It's a great blessing of my own Calvary Chapel heritage. But I want you to understand this. Preaching can be expository without actually preaching verse by verse through a book of the Bible. Did you get what I said there? Let me explain. It's wrong to think that verse by verse always equals exposition, and it's also wrong to think that a single verse or dwelling on a topic can never be expositional. Did you get what I said there? Again, I just want to remind you, there are people who go verse by verse through a book of the Bible, but they're not really expositing. And there are other people who just take one verse, or they're preaching on a topic, but they are wonderfully expositional. Let me remind you of something. Pastor Chuck Smith, the man who was, again, he's now the gone to heaven patriarch of the Calvary Chapel family of churches. Pastor Chuck Smith did not teach verse by verse through books of the Bible on Sunday mornings, you know, when most people were attending his church, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Pastor Chuck Smith focused on one or more verses from that week's Through the Bible study. And it wasn't verse by verse through a book of the Bible, but it certainly was exposition. So, Pastor Chuck, let's say he was going to teach through Matthew chapter 5 that Sunday night. He would take one verse, maybe two verses, from Matthew chapter 5, and that would be his Sunday morning sermon. Now, if he treated that one or two verses in an expositional way, then it was an expositional sermon. So here's my point. A sermon may only take a verse or two and yet truly be expository. A sermon may take a topic and present it in a truly expository manner. Again, it has to do more with how someone handles the scriptures. Here's another thing. A person may go through a passage of scripture and not truly exposit it. Friend, read and ramble is not expository preaching, even if you happen to say some good things along the way. And look, let's face it. There are some preachers, that's really what it is. They read a verse and ramble a bit, and then they'll read another verse and ramble a bit, and then they'll read a third verse and ramble a bit. Again, even if you say good things, even if in some measures it's a good sermon, that's not really expository preaching unless the main point of the passage is the main point of your sermon. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Verse by verse through books of the Bible is a great way to do expository teaching, and I recommend it to everybody. It is our way in the Calvary Chapel family, and it's certainly my way in my own preaching. I just want this to be clear, that it's not necessarily the only way. Whenever the text is explained well, it's explained accurately, it's explained faithfully, then expository preaching is happening. And let me say, I'm thrilled that it seems to me, in a very unscientific thing, the results in your own community may be very different, but in my own community, there are many more pastors and preachers at churches in my community preaching expositionally through books of the Bible on Sundays to their congregation than there were 20 years ago. And let me say, that is a good thing. In some ways, I think that's part of the amazing legacy and influence of Pastor Chuck Smith. Pastor Chuck Smith was an amazing model of expository preaching and teaching, and I think that that's a model that has had influence far beyond Calvary Chapel churches. All right, well, that's sort of some introductory thoughts about expository preaching. But what good is it? What's the value or the importance of expository preaching? Why is it good to do this? Well, let me give you several reasons. First of all, expository preaching is valuable because it follows much of the pattern of preaching seen in the Bible. In other words, many times when we look at the Bible, we find expository preaching. Let me give you several examples of this. I'll go back to the previous slide and show you this, how we read in several places in the New Testament that Jesus preached the word. Mark chapter 2, verse 2 says this, "And he preached the word to them." Now, friends, I don't know any more straightforward way to explain that than simply to say that this means that Jesus Christ preached the word of God to them. And if it's referring to it in that sense, he's preaching from the Hebrew scriptures. Jesus was, in fact, an expository preacher. We see that in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 22. It shows us how Jesus began an exposition of Isaiah chapter 61. Now, all we have in Luke chapter 4 is just the bare outline of that message. Surely Jesus said more than that. And what he said was developing the passage and applying the passage, Isaiah chapter 61. So let's take a look at some other examples of preaching seen in the Bible as being preaching the word. We see that in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 4, that the scattered disciples preached the word. We read Acts chapter 8, 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Well, again, what was the word that they preached? It was the word of God, revealed by the Hebrew scriptures for sure, but as they relayed also the sayings of Jesus and what he had done, the gospel, that was also a form of preaching the word. They were expositing the word of God. We find several references in the book of Acts that Paul preached the word. You can see them there. Acts chapter 13, verse 5. Acts chapter 14, verse 25. Acts chapter 15, verses 35 and 36. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Acts chapter 17, verse 13. We see again and again it tells us that Paul preached the word. And we also see that Paul showed the importance of expository teaching, of teaching the whole counsel of God. When Paul spoke to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 31, he impressed upon them the importance of preaching the whole counsel of God. And surely one aspect of that is to bring forth what God says from his word. We can also say that Paul commanded other people to preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." Again, this is just a simple exhortation of Paul to his protege, Timothy, to preach the word. Now, we also find even before this, all the examples I've given you right now from the New Testament, from the Hebrew scriptures, we have other examples as well. We know that from Deuteronomy chapter 31, God wanted the entire law, meaning his word, presented to Israel regularly. And again, when they would do it, they would read it and explain it. Nehemiah chapter 8 tells us how Ezra is a good example of expository preaching. He would read the text and explain what it meant to be. Matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 28, we have the simple line upon line way of teaching the Bible given as an example. It's interesting, in Isaiah chapter 28, people are mocking Isaiah for doing that kind of preaching, but nevertheless, he does. Matter of fact, I don't have a slide for this, but it's a very important idea to me. It's fascinating to see that in a measure that we don't often appreciate, it was the responsibility of the priests of Israel to communicate God's word to the people. And those priests were to be scattered throughout the kingdom of Israel. They were to communicate and explain God's word to the people. That's given to us several times in the Old Testament. Friends, let me explain it to you just simply this way. God manifests his word through preaching. Do you know what it means to manifest? It means to make evident, to expose. God manifests his word through preaching. Look at this from Titus chapter 1, verse 3, where we read, "But has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior." Do you understand that? That one way that God manifests his word, makes it plain, is through preaching. Therefore, that's what the preacher should be doing, should be exposing, should be explaining God's word itself. You can also put it this way, that the gospel is preached through the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 says this, "The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever." He's quoting Isaiah chapter 40 there. And he says, "Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Again, 1 Peter chapter 1. Now friends, I think that's very significant. The gospel is preached to us through the word of God, not fundamentally through the experiences of people. Well, you could say it's the experience of people as it's recorded in Holy Scripture. But again, it's what is taught to us in the Bible, in Holy Scripture. So, friends, I think that's one huge reason why we regard expository preaching as valuable and important because it follows much of the pattern, I should say, of much of the preaching that's seen in the Bible. I'm not trying to tell you for a moment that every sermon in the scriptures was expository in nature, but many of them were, enough of them to give us a clear example of it. Now, let me give you a second reason. First, because it follows the pattern of preaching seen in much of God's word. But second reason is this: expository preaching is valuable because it puts the attention of the listeners where it should be, on the Bible. Now, I believe that's true for those who are believers. The attention of believers should be more on the Word of God than it should be on the preacher. That's true for believers, but it should also be true for those who have not yet believed. You know, when people who have not yet believed on Jesus Christ come to our churches or our Bible studies or our Sunday school classes, whatever it would be, they should be more impressed with the Word of God than with the preacher or the teacher who's bringing forth the Word of God. Because let me tell you something. It's the Word of God that really has power and that really has authority throughout time. Do you understand how enduring and long-lasting God's Word is? It's worthy of our attention. You know, I reflect on this from time to time. You think about it here with the many ways that the scriptures have been persecuted and how people have sought to destroy the Word of God itself. When we realize how zealously God has preserved His Word, it really reinforces for me this important second point that expository preaching is valuable because it puts the attention of the listeners where it should be. Again, that is on the Bible. And the enduring power of God's word, to me, testifies of that. Let me spend just a little time on a rabbit trail here, talking to you about the enduring power of God's word. In the Diocletian persecutions in the Roman Empire, in the early 4th century, around the year 303 AD, there was an especially pointed effort to destroy every Bible. Thousands, if not millions, maybe not millions, but many, many thousands of copies of the scriptures were destroyed, and thousands of Christians were martyred. All of this happened under Emperor Diocletian. He was one of the worst persecutors of Christians. And Diocletian set up a triumph column that was built over the ashes of burnt Bibles, and it had this inscription on it: Extincto nomine Christianorum. And you would translate that from Latin, saying, the name of the Christians has been extinguished. Well, friends, here we are today, right? We're talking about how to be better preachers and teachers of the Bible. Well, Diocletian sets up a monument over the ashes of burnt Bibles, and we would just simply say this: Diocletian is dead and gone. Some of you have never even heard his name until I said it. And here we are meeting God in this book, God's Word, today. Many centuries later, in the 14th century, a man named John Wycliffe was charged with the crime, this was a crime, that he had made the Bible popular and more open to laymen and even to women. The accusation was that the pearl of the gospel, the precious pearl of the gospel, would be trampled by swine. There were people who felt that you should not make the Bible available to everyday people. John Wycliffe strongly disagreed. This is what John Wycliffe said in his own day. He said, "The sacred scriptures are the property of the people, and one which no one should be allowed to take from them. Christ and his apostles converted the world by making known the scriptures to men in a form familiar to them. I pray with all my heart and all that through the doing the things contained in this book, we may all come together to everlasting life." Did you hear what he said there? He said simply that the apostles did this by making known the scriptures to men in a form familiar to them. They explained the scriptures. They exposed the scriptures. a few decades later in the 15th century, under Henry V of England, Bible reading was a crime. This is what the law said. It said this: whosoever should read the scriptures in the mother tongue, they should forfeit land, chattel, life, and goods from the heirs forever, and so be condemned for heretics to God, enemies of the crown, and more errant traitors to the land. That was the decreed law under Henry V in the 15th century in England. And then in the 16th century, after the invention of the printing press, William Tyndale was able to mass produce the New Testament and flood England with Bibles. The bishops of England were outraged. They tried to burn every copy of the scriptures that they could. Now, William Tyndale invested all of his money into this project, and he became poor because of it. And one day, a man offered to buy all of his stock of Bibles on behalf of the Bishop of London. And Tyndale said, but you're just going to burn them. And then the man told him, well, so what? The bishop's going to burn them anyway. This way, you're going to get out of debt and be able to print more Bibles. So that's what Tyndale did. He sold the Bibles. He saw them burnt, but then he used the money to print even more. Tyndale later credited the Bishop of London and his book burning for the continued success of getting Bibles out to the people in the English language. Friends, with all Tyndale did for the cause of Jesus Christ, he was strangled and burnt at the stake on October 6th, 1536. The last words out of William Tyndale's mouth were these: Lord, open the King of England's eyes. And within 4 years, four English translations of the Bible were published in England at the king's request, including Henry's official Great Bible. And all of them were based on Tyndale's work. And not 100 years after the time of William Tyndale, the King of England himself, King James, directed a new translation that was to be published widely. Friends, what I'm just trying to communicate to you is that all through the centuries, the Bible has been attacked again and again, and it still stands. I can't think of anything more important for us to do as Bible teachers, as Bible preachers, than to simply explain what the living and powerful Word of God says. You see, even in more modern times, there's been many critics who have attacked the Bible. Of course, you have a British philosopher, David Hume. He said, I think I see the twilight of Christianity. The French philosopher Voltaire confidently claimed that within 100 years of his day, the Bible would be nothing more than a curiosity for antique collectors. And Thomas Paine, that American patriot, though an atheist, he said this: I've now gone through the Bible as a man would go through a forest with an axe and felled trees. Here they lie, and the priest may replant them, but they will never make them grow. You see, all of those men so confidently, and if I could say arrogantly, predicted the end of what God would do in and through this book, the Bible, but they are dead and buried, and God's work goes on. Of course, after those men, you had a series of French and German critics. They tried to throw the Bible into the waste paper bin of superstition and mythology, but it's all in vain. The Bible is like an anvil. You know what an anvil is, don't you? It's that thing that the blacksmith beats upon. And the Bible is like an anvil that has worn out many hammers. Oh, all these men of old, every king, every priest, every philosopher, every atheist that has tried to defeat the power of God in and through his word, they beat upon it with a hammer. Those hammers wear out and gone. The anvil of God's word remains. I'm simply saying this: we need to honor God enough to let his word speak for itself, to let God speak for himself. Let the lion of God's word defend itself. And as much as possible, let's let God speak for himself. Well, that's a long point number two. Again, simply talking about how it's true that we must give attention to the scriptures because it just simply explains and it gives God's word the honor. Let me go to number three, a third point here as to why it's important for us to do it. Expository preaching is valuable because it gives authority and confidence to the preacher. You know, I can speak to you on a very personal level about that. Friends, look, our world is filled with people that have opinions. This man has this opinion. This woman has this opinion. Another person has a third opinion. Opinion, opinion, opinion. Can I just cut through it all and say, who cares? Who cares what my opinion is? If I could say this respectfully, who cares what your opinion is? What really matters at the end of it all is what the Word of God says. And if I believe that what is in this book is more important than my opinion, my anecdotes, my funny stories, then I'm going to give the lead billing to the Word of God. No, it doesn't mean that I don't give forth a anecdote, a funny story, illustrative sort of thing. It's just those are clearly supporting actors. And Jesus Christ himself speaking in and through the Word is the main actor, the leading actor in the sermon. And so we need to understand that. And when I am speaking from that framework, where God's word is front and center, my friends, I feel that I have authority. I feel that I have confidence. Listen, I may not be overly confident in my own opinions, but when it comes to what the word of God says, I'm bold as a lion. And I hope you are too. Because again, we can stand on true authority, God's authority, apostolic authority, the authority of God's word. So again, I would just make that point. Expository preaching is valuable because it gives authority and confidence to the preacher. Now, here's a fourth point, if I could make it here. Simply, expository preaching is valuable because it's obedient to the command to preach the word. It's how we rightly divide the word of truth. Friends, when Paul, speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, commanded Timothy and commanded all of us, as those of us who would be preachers and teachers of God's word, told us to preach the word, he didn't mean your word. He meant this word. That's the word that we're supposed to preach. How else are we going to obey God's command to preach the word if we don't preach the word? And then fifthly, finally, at this particular point here, I can say that expository preaching is valuable because it's the proper response to the truth of the divine revelation or divine inspiration of the scriptures. Listen, if this book is God-breathed, if this is the word of God, what more important information is there on the face of the earth? There is none. And we believe that this is the word of God. That's the thing. I got to say, in some ways, I scratch my head. I just don't get it. That there are people who claim they believe this is the word of God, but yet they're not preaching it. Oh, they're preaching sermons. Oh, they're preaching ideas. Oh, they're being a great Christian life coach or inspirational speaker, but they're not preaching the word of God. That is expository preaching. All right, let me click through these five once more here. Number one, expository preaching is valuable because it follows the pattern of much of the preaching seen in the Bible. Number two, we would say that expository preaching is valuable because it puts the attention of the listeners where it should be, on the Bible. That's true for believers and those who are not yet believers. We would say, thirdly, that expository preaching is valuable because it gives authority and confidence to the preacher. Number four, expository preaching is valuable because it is obedient to the command to preach the word, and it's how we rightly divide the word of truth. And then number five, expository preaching is valuable because it is the proper response to the truth of the divine inspiration of the Bible. Now, I've given to you, I think, five very important reasons why I think expository preaching is good, valuable, important. But let me give you another way of explaining this. Expository preaching is also valuable because it is helpful. In other words, it works. Now, if something is given to us by God and it is right to do, then we do it without measuring it by the immediate results. I'm not telling you just preach expositionally, teach expositionally because it works, but I'm telling you, if you will, it will work. We are to preach the word. We do it, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. We do it in season and we do it out of season. Yet, we must say, there are some wonderfully helpful things in expository preaching that should be an encouragement to us in our preaching work. And let me just list three of them for you here. First of all, expository preaching is helpful because it gives clear direction in regard to what should be taught. Now, friends, this is such a practical thing. I don't know how many of you have actually been responsible to where you had to preach a weekly sermon or Bible study. Or maybe, as has been the case in my life, you had to teach two or sometimes three weekly sermons or Bible studies. Listen, if you don't know what you're supposed to teach next and you just say, well, I'll just leave it up to the inspiration of the moment, it can be very difficult. You could have those Saturday night cold sweats. Oh, Lord, what should I preach on? I don't really know. Let me tell you one of the most helpful things about expository preaching. You know what should be taught. Look, if I taught, finished Romans chapter 1 last week, I know that I'm going to start Romans chapter 2 this week. How beautiful that is. How simple. And instead of spending time agonizing over what I should teach from the Bible, I can give that time and attention to the Bible text itself and simply benefit from that. So, expository preaching is helpful because it gives clear direction in regard to what should be taught. Number two, expository preaching is helpful because it helps one deal with difficult subjects that one might rather avoid. Now, look, I don't know your particular personality as a preacher or teacher, but no doubt there are some topics that you more enjoy preaching or teaching on than other topics. And listen, you're not doing the people you teach much of a service if you always ignore the topics you don't like to preach about. Maybe it has to do with morality. Maybe it has to do with sexual morality. Maybe it has to do with addiction. Maybe it has to do with giving and generosity. I don't know, on and on and on. I could just go out and start listing things, but you understand what I mean. Listen, when you teach verse by verse through books of the Bible, when you truly preach expositionally, then you're just going to deal with things as they come up in the text. And you're going to deal with them in proportion as they deal with the text, which is very important. Third, I would say this. Expository preaching is helpful because it models good Bible reading, at least in some ways, or at least it can. If you've never been under a preaching or teaching ministry where they taught verse by verse through books of the Bible, you may be surprised that people can sit down, go through half a chapter of the scriptures on a Sunday morning, and it makes sense and it applies to the life. And you walk away thinking, wow, he just walked through the passage, explained it in its context, showed how it applied, showed how Jesus was glorified in it, and I understood it. I can do that for myself. I can read my Bible myself and do that. And you know what? You can do it for yourself, and you should do it for yourself. So friends, I really think that this is what we need to be doing. We need to be expository preaching, again, just for those great reasons that we described. It is very, very important for us to do. Let me just read those reasons to you one more time. It's simply this. Expository preaching is helpful because it gives clear direction in regard to what should be taught. It's helpful because it helps one deal with difficult subjects that one might rather avoid. And expository preaching is helpful because it can model good Bible reading. All right, let me sort of conclude with this. I want to talk to you about trusting in the value of expository preaching. And we'll sort of end with this. Because please understand, I am in no way trying to say everything that I could or should say about expository preaching. But trusting in the value of expository preaching isn't trusting in a technique or a philosophy. It's trusting in the power and in the authority of God and His Word. And so we demonstrate our trust in the power of God and in the value of explaining His Word when we, number one, we start with the text. Friends, I would just counsel you this. Don't take too long to get to the Bible text. I know that this may be a personal thing, and so I can't make a law out of it. But I don't like it when the preacher or the teacher has too long of an introduction and doesn't get to the Bible text rather quickly. It makes me wonder if they think that the Bible text is boring. They don't want to start off with that because it would put everybody to sleep. Friends, let me tell you something. The Bible's not boring. If you think it's boring, you just don't understand it. So you demonstrate trust in the power of God and the value of expository preaching when we start with the text. That is, don't take too long to get to the Bible passage. And then secondly, you let your points, your themes, and your emphasis come from the Bible text. As you teach, you're emphasizing the words of the Bible text. There's something wrong if somebody could leave a Bible study you led or a sermon you preached, if they could leave that Bible study or sermon and say, wow, that was a good Bible study. And somebody were to ask them, well, what passage of scripture did you go over? And they'd say, well, hold on, I don't know. Let me think about it. You see, the Bible text itself should be front and center. So we want to emphasize the words of the Bible text, and we want to aim for our hearers to remember the text and some of the words. Now listen, I know you have that killer joke. I know you saw that thing on social media that's just going to slay everybody and get them all laughing. Okay, great, wonderful. Use those things to spice up your sermon. But don't you really want the people to leave remembering something of the Bible passage? And maybe even some of the words of that Bible passage. You know, if you're preaching on Romans 8:28, don't you want them leaving thinking, all things do work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to purpose? Yes. You want them to have that ringing in their heart, ringing in their ears. You see, we preach as if the Bible is true, as if the Bible is wonderful. Because friends, it is true. And it is wonderful. I hope that's reflected in the way that you communicate God's word. Friends, let me be very straightforward with you. In a cultural sense, what we do as Bible preachers and teachers, it's bizarre. We go in front of people, standing or sitting, and we speak for, let's say, anywhere from 30 to 50 minutes. We do it with the expectation that people are actually going to listen to us. That's far beyond the attention span that they're accustomed to by the culture. We don't use a lot of technology. And if we do use technology, we're certainly not matching the technological sophistication of the culture around us. We're speaking from a 2,000-year-old book as if it was true, relevant, and important. We speak to it as if it was actually the Word of God. We think and we act as if all of this really matters. Can I just tell you, objectively speaking, that's bizarre. And it always has been bizarre. So instead of feeling that you have to compete with the culture, celebrate the differences here. You are offering something that they're going to get nowhere else. We can say to the people who attend our Bible studies, our home groups, our Sunday school classes, our congregational services, we can say, You're going to see and hear something here that you're not going to see or hear anywhere else. Now, at the same time, you must show them the relevance of biblical truth to the here and now. If there is power in the Word of God, and I believe there is, it's power for today. And if I could say, it's today as it really is, not today as we might hope it is or imagine it to be. So we understand, we explain, we exposit, and we do it all because this is the living, active Word of God. Well, that is a brief word, at least brief for me, talking about preaching and teaching. I'm sure there's many other things that we can talk about together, and we will, so stay tuned. And I hope that through all of this, God will use this to make us better preachers, teachers, communicators of His Word in whatever setting He has given us to proclaim His Word. God bless you, and may God bless you with the gift of being able to understand and expose, explain, exposit His Word to other people for the glory of God and for the advancement of His kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.